I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. Coda riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist Coda customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at coda.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hello everybody, welcome to Goldbridge Saves Football for a brand new live show where we're talking about the Premier League weekend and what a disgrace it was. VAR never went away. Shocking decisions, we'll be talking about that. What's Howard Webb been up to this summer? He's clearly been taking all the referees on holiday, patting their back with sun cream and goodwill. They've done nothing. And talking about goodwills, we might have a bad Will on the show. We've got loads to talk about, Will. We're going to be talking about Rio Ferdinand backing Sterling and his ridiculous comments. I'm not surprised. We've got stupendously stupid comments from Arsenal fans talking about, oh, Arteta's not good enough, ungrateful, spoiled entitlements, and lucky Man United. I'm not having any of that. What else are we going to be talking about?
There's lots to talk about down the bottom as well. Leicester City could be facing two-point decisions going against them. Is it right? Is it wrong? Everton, they looked absolutely awful. Should Ashley Young hang it up about right now? We have got Branthwaite. Is he going to Liverpool? Is it just PR? Lots of chat about the EFL as well, which still warms my heart because this season we're looking not just at the Premier League, we're looking at the Big 72 underneath and the rest of Europe. But VAR sort of defines the way we talk on this podcast. And should we start there?
We will start there. So much to get into. You can get interactive as well. Get your comments in. As always, this is the Premier League Review show and we are live. And we talk about things other people will not talk about. And I think one of those things has to be VAR. As I get, what the hell is going on here? But get shut up. Audio again. Look, why am I talking? Oh, no.
Turn it down.
Stop the stream again. Okay, we're going to talk about VAR. Absolutely shocking. This was part of the Goldbridge Saves Football podcast last year. I wanted to talk about the 3pm blackout. I wanted a new crusade this year, and we're stuck with the old. We thought we'd conquered VAR. Oh, we have not. It is back, causing irritation again. I thought it was absolutely incredible. And I tell you what, the mainstream, as we call them, he's going to upset about this. The mainstream do nothing about it. They just go, oh, well, oh, I like your shoes, Alan. Oh, Gary, have you been away to Paris? Yeah, I've been in a 5-star hotel doing my podcast. It's the same old nonsense. And you know what? I was on TalkSport. I'm not anymore. And they have meetings, as Sky do, with the VAR every 2 weeks. They're all on the bloody gravy train together. Don't mention that. We've got advertisers to please. It's a disgrace, Will. Like, this is the opening game of the weekend. It's the opening Premier League weekend. And we're talking about VAR. And people are going, stop moaning. I'm not going to stop moaning because it's the first weekend of this. They can't get it right on the first weekend. They've changed nothing. They don't even have the offside decision ready yet to go, which thankfully there wasn't any dodgy offsides. But I just thought, I mean, where do you start? The Eze free kick, the Kovacic handball, the Shaw headbutt and the Matty Cash penalty. All that should be like 2 months worth. That's like 2 days worth. Right. It's unacceptable.
Calm down. Watching a game of football live and then going to watch your Twitter feed is like watching two different things. You and the Chelsea versus Manchester City game, I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was coming out of your mouth. And dare I say, I think you're adding...
Because it's so good.
No,
like, oh my God,
dare
I
say you're,
I work with this
you're
guy.
Adding to the problem because I think you've gone in there, Anthony Taylor's already got a bad taste in your mouth. Manchester City got another bad taste in your mouth. And I think where we have got such a really strong independent voice, you don't help us when you're coming out with some of the tosh that you came out with at the weekend. Kovacic, read the rules, mate. They've changed the rules. Yeah, you might not.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to call hear ye, hear ye. What Will's doing here is he's gone for the weakest decision. Of
what are you on about? That's the biggest decision. It's the top of the running order.
That's why we have a running order.
We
are not starting the VAR debate with the Kovacic handball where he's going to get the rule book out and go, well, technically his hand's in a natural position. Let's start off with Matty Cash's penalty. Yeah. What are you going to say about that?
Well, no, you've done it. You've just 180'd and done exactly the what we were having a chat by the coffee machine, and I said Matty Cash wasn't a penalty. So you've just done what I've done to you.
Yeah, you know that, it's not a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. That's the obvious one. Well, let's go to Eze then.
Yeah.
Oh, big orator for being speaking.
Don't worry, everybody. We will actually talk about some of these incidents in a minute instead of batting further and forth to try and win points.
Right, no, Eze. Let's start with Eze then.
Yeah.
Right.
Disgusting.
You say about being a voice of the people.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Woke up, missed this one. Monday morning. That's the biggest disgrace of the weekend. If and you can't be asked to watch it.
If your girlfriend goes to Ibiza and has a really good time, you know, and then you don't find out till she gets back, she's still bloody cheated on you. And if I don't find out that Ezzy's free kick was an absolute disgrace until Monday morning because I've been busy, it's still a horrible decision. I tell you what, that referee's lucky I didn't find out till Monday morning because I would be doubly mad than I am now. I'm mad. That is if you've not seen that Ezzy free kick, I'll tell you what, I respect Crystal Palace fans now. You've got the patience of a bumblebee.
Yeah.
You know, them bumblebees are patient, by the way, but they have got patience because if that happened to Man United, you wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, but exactly. But then that's why if it was a top 16, you'd be straight in there barking away on your, there'd be 4 to 5 tweets.
Well, I'm barking
about
away now.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It just gets lost amongst
I'm
the
ether. I'm barking so much, I've tried to get speed on. Just bark in the background.
And I just think that's what gets lost. If it's down the bottom half, we say it about the mainstream, so we have to be accountable to ourselves.
Yeah.
That was the worst decision of the weekend. The referee, to be fair to him, spoke to Palace and said, I got it wrong. So you have to say, fair enough, he was accountable.
Okay, but back on the girlfriend again. She's come back from Ibiza. She's had a bloody good time. Yeah. Apologies, I got it wrong. It's fine. We don't need to run any tests.
No.
Let's just try.
But I'm saying what it ties into is what we were speaking about last year, I think, about the referee was just he was just looking at the players. He wasn't even looking where the free kick was coming in. And it ties back to what we were speaking about, if we are going to criticise the referees, which we do need to do, is about almost that narcissism that I was talking about. They're just so quick to almost like, and it wasn't even a foul on, Will Hughes got fouled and he was the Palace player. He was just so quick to be on it. And Eze was very mild-mannered in his
I think it's
post-match.
The best thing you've said so far, that the referees are narcissists and they're too quick to try and get their moment. The same thing happened with the Matty Cash penalty as well, which we'll talk about. If you take your time, you make the right decision. You know, you know, just don't rush into the wrong decision. I was on holiday in Magaluf, right? I was in Magaluf and went into a bar. I was about 18. Mrs. can't get me for this. We weren't together. It was about 6 girls in a group and they were like, very interested.
They were very interested. VAR check, absolute horseshit.
Anyway, the point is, they were having a, we just bought some drinks. They were talking to me and my mate. They were very interested. I quickly scouted around. I was like, who's got the best personality and who's most compatible with me? Some people might have looked at other things first. I just looked at that. I could have just gone for whatever was there, but I didn't. I took my time. And this is what referees need to do. They need to follow the Magaluf rule.
Yeah.
That referee in that game, oh my God, you're right. It's not a foul. It's not even a foul. Will Hughes is fouled. But oh my God, what's he even looking at? Ezzy doesn't even put the cross in. He shoots. It hits the front post and goes in. And he's looking at what's going on in the box. Foul. And if you're Ezzy, you must be going, did you not watch what I just did? I've just done the keeper on the front post. I didn't even cross it in. Foul. And why has VAR not come in?
Yeah, well, because
somebody said VAR can't get involved.
VAR can't get involved because he blew the whistle before the ball hit the back of the net.
That's a nonsense.
No, I know.
You know what? I'm telling you now, low-key, Poundland version, BTEC, whatever you want to call it. Remember last season with Liverpool and the offside goal where VAR know it's onside and they don't do anything about it?
Our favourite one.
What are you doing, Howard Webb? Like, it's a new season now and we've got the same issue. And you won't listen to this on Match of the Day. It's the same as the Liverpool offside in the sense that Howard Webb's done nothing. VAR, for the good of the game, should be able to go, hey, ref, you know, it's not really in our remit, but guess what? It is now. You've made a right mistake there. Just come and have a look at it at the side of the pitch. That's your get out. This is what we do for penalties. Instead, we're sat here on a Monday morning going, that is an absolute disgrace, and it's cost Crystal Palace a point.
Yeah, but I think the bigger the disgrace is not being making more of a fuss. I thought Jamie Redknapp spoke really well on it. You know, we can criticise Pundit, but he was like, this is a disgrace, and he was calling it out.
To Jamie Redknapp.
Yeah, well, at least
a pair of Skechers trainers.
Yeah, and they're good quality trainers, and if they want to sponsor us, please get in touch. But he was speaking.
What are you bringing Redknapp into it for?
He was speaking about it, and you weren't.
And what's he say?
He said it was a disgrace.
Well, he probably did it with a smile on his face and a pair of Skechers going, buy these.
He's the one speaking about it, and you can't be asked to watch it because it's further down the table.
Well, and I've watched it now, and it's featured right at the start of the show. Let's talk about Matty Cash, Aston Villa, very impressive against West Ham at the weekend. West Ham took a bit of, I think they're going to take a bit of time, aren't they, West Ham? Well, just very quickly, because we will intersperse some of this as well. West Ham didn't really start any of his new signings.
Yeah, it was a bit strange,
which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
Loyalty to Moyes players when you're not Moyes.
I almost thought
he was going to be there with a Moyes mask going, Skibidi. Because it was like he picked all of Moyes' players. And I'm like, you're a new manager.
Yeah.
You don't pick. I mean, it might be a fitness thing, but they look like, I think a lot of people were excited by West Ham. I predicted it in my Super Six. I had a brilliant weekend in my Super Six.
Did you?
I picked three perfect scores.
Bloody
I went Arsenal 2-0.
Yeah.
I went Brentford 2-1.
Thanks. Oh, you did, yeah.
Actually, can I just correct, referee spot on in that game? Absolutely spot on. And I also went Villa 2-1. But yeah, I think West Ham, you wouldn't have to wait a few weeks for them.
Yeah, yeah. And Villa really worryingly look really good. I think the big thing we always speak about is continuity, don't we? And then they're going into their third season with that manager and they just look like they've got the right pieces in the right places and know what they're doing. Let's go back to the top, though. Let's go to Kovacic.
Let's talk about the penalty for Matty Cash. Any explanation? This is worse because VAR looks at it now
and says,
what
and
are you
tweets
saying?
Out.
What are you saying?
No, it's not a penalty because he gets the ball. There is a bit of a leg tangle.
I mean, it's irrelevant because he's given the penalty anyway, but I almost feel like Souček knows he's not going to get the ball anyway and does that whole throw your legs back thing to exaggerate it, which he's got rights to do, but there's no part of that. There was people on the watch along on Saturday who were saying he doesn't get enough of the ball, and I went, oh, you're right, check the new Premier League rules, it's actually there now. They've not got the technology for offside yet, but they do have the technology for not enough impact on the ball when you tackle now, so you've got to have 20% velocity on attack. I'm taking the piss, you're looking like it's true.
Well, I did believe you then.
Yeah, well
there's so many rule changes you don't know where to look and turn.
Yeah, I mean, not having enough touch on the ball.
No, but I mean, fortunately, like I think we said, it galvanised them, didn't it, as well? Like they were playing well, and I don't think there was any ever in doubt. So fortunately, the right thing's been done for them, and they've got the 3 points. But
it was a shocking decision.
I know. I feel for Matty Cash because there's a lot of talk about, is his position up for grabs at right back going forward for the season? And you could just see, you know, when he gave it away, it was like, no.
I mean, let us know in the chat about some of this VR stuff. Got loads to get through over the next hour. But also, I think with regards to Matty Cash, I almost felt, and I said this on the day, if you're given a penalty for that, the biggest problem is to think outside the box. And if you're giving a penalty for that, and I'd love to know what Howard Webb justifies it as, because it's not a penalty. But if you're not, what you've got to think as a player and a fan is, if that's going to be a penalty, then what you're basically saying is Matty Cash shouldn't make the tackle. That's the only thing he can do, not to give the penalty. If he doesn't make that tackle, Redknapp and co are going to go, he's got to make the tackle there. It's poor defending. So it's a misinterpretation of the game. They don't understand that you've got to try and make the tackle. And if you get something on the ball, you can't give a penalty, because if you're telling him it's a penalty, then they're just going to stand there and go, have a shot, and we can't have that.
But also the thing is this new interpretation of like the referee, them like backing the referee with the decision he makes. And I think in some parts across the weekend it worked well, because it did feel like the game sped up, like with the Liverpool Ipswich one, when Diaz went down, it was quite quick and quite instant. But with this, it's like such a clear mistake where you can see he gets a toe on the ball and changes direction of it. And really, that should be like a match-saving tackle that we're all rewarding Matty Cash for.
I thought it was a good tackle.
And he's been punished, so I think that interpretation needs to work both ways, doesn't it? Like, you can back the referee and it works, but then if you're backing him into a corner and you've clearly seen a mistake, just tell him, have a little word in his ear.
I just think, look, you know, I get tired of it. I'm sure everyone else gets tired of it. The media keeps sweeping it under the carpet because they're all in cahoots. It's the opening weekend of the Premier League and we've had 3, maybe 4, massively bad decisions, and it shouldn't be happening, because ultimately it keeps happening because the people in charge won't make the changes that need to happen. I've said this for months. What you need to do is have two separate entities that aren't mates. You have a VAR room and you have the referees on the pitch. They're not, you know, when Taylor or someone starts going, I definitely got the ball, you go, shut it, Taylor. We're not mates. I work for a different organisation through a different boss. You are on the pitch. I know what you're saying. It's a penalty. Shut your gob. Smile to the camera. The professionals are here now. And then you look at it and you go, I can't stand this, Taylor. I'd love to turn it around. But no, you wouldn't do that.
I just think the worst thing was that was when Mike Dean came out at the start of the last season, didn't he, in his new sort of entertainment role. And he's basically said, yeah, there's been decisions where I've sort of backed different VAR decisions with because of mates being in charge of games. So, like, well, the whole integrity of football in England becomes under question then because you've got mates backing mates. And it's been said, it's almost like match fixing then.
That VAR thing is, you know, I disagree that, you know, 1 week Michael Oliver might be on VAR and 1 week he might be on the pitch.
Yeah.
I just think professionalise it, separate the two, get rid of the mates rates and you'll have a much more consistent theme.
Yeah.
100%. Shah, let's stand up, Will. This is a disgrace.
Just before that, we are live as well, as you can see. So if you want to get your super chats in and you can change the format of the podcast, let us know as I'm about to headbutt.
So the Shah one, yeah? Right? This is what happens.
Who are you?
I'll be
Diaz. I've got the hair.
We need a bit. I am a better actor than you. I'm just thinking.
No, I've seen more films.
I should probably play Brereton Diaz.
I've seen more films.
I should probably play Brereton. Anyway, bit of pushing and shoving.
Okay, you're smaller, so you should be Diaz.
Yeah, okay. What are you talking about?
You're Diaz, so you can come to me.
What are you talking about? Oh!
Down. He's down. You okay?
Stand up. Who's getting sent off? You!
Yeah. I think that one, that's such an old school sort. Are you okay? Yeah. I've got a big head.
Oh, I probably need stitches, mate.
Yeah, I've got a big head.
I actually injured myself more going down.
Yeah.
Than
I'm trying to get back up
than
again.
Than I did with the head.
Of your old age. No, I think that one is just the classic one of like the referee shouldn't be bought for that. Shah shouldn't be throwing his head in. Everyone's in
Send
the wrong.
Send them both off is what I say.
Or just give them both yellows.
Or give them both the yellow.
It's so early on as well.
What? Yeah, look, a lot of people will say, you can't put your head on a head. You can't put a head on a head. Fine, send him off, but send the prat off who thinks he's in bloody Hollyoaks. That's what I say.
Bet I've met Ben Brereton Diaz, and let me say he's a close personal friend of mine because I met him for 5 minutes.
Well, he should
minutes.
Be embarrassed. He should be embarrassed with that.
Yeah, but also, if that was in an England shirt and that happened in a World Cup game, we'd be going, finally, we've learnt the errors of our ways. We're, you know, Spain, Italy, they do it for so much and it changes the course of the game. Also, me for Southampton, it didn't work. But we are in the modern day of gamesmanship. So if you're not going to referee with common sense, more power to Ben, I say.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, the old cliche would normally be, and I bet they didn't do it on any of the mainstream shows, is that you'd normally say Ben Brereton Diaz. And I've not heard anybody say it. Ben Brereton Diaz is a disgrace. There'll be kids playing football in the local park
who'll be
copying that now to get people sent off, which is not, doesn't never gets mentioned.
Yeah, but it only gets changed if you change the referee.
But ultimately as well, yes. I mean, look, he's not gone up to him Vinnie Jones style and gone, have that, Jimmy.
You're rewarding action.
He's just put a...
I know.
It's not enough to... I don't think you should get sent off for that, but if the rule says it should. But 100%, what Diaz does is a separate incident. It's simulation and it's cheating.
Look, he's had 6 months at Villarreal and he's turned into an absolutely award-winning diver, so...
Let's be clever. And as we're talking about these VAR decisions, let's talk about that game. I tell you what, Newcastle, at that point, 0-0. 60% possession Southampton hadn't had a shot on goal, even with 11 versus 11. That was about half an hour in. Yeah. Turn it into a 1-0 win, and Southampton ended up with 70% possession. I've spoken about Newcastle being a bit of a dark horse. What a result for them, but Southampton will be kicking themselves, and that's why they're going to get relegated.
Yeah, I didn't see too much of it. I saw the highlights, and like you, we talk about Russell Martin bringing his style of football to the Premier League, and then ultimately you look at the goal that they conceded where they're giving away the ball in dangerous areas. Like, I just hope that they adapt, because there is the basis of a really good Premier League team there. There's still quite a bit of time in the window to go, but if you're Eddie Howe, like, that's such a galvanising win, isn't it? Like, from everyone, and you can really unite the team. So, yeah, I think out of the bottom three, it will come on to Ipswich, but they look the strongest, I think, so far. Well, we've got Leicester tonight, haven't we? But, yeah, good win for Newcastle.
Yeah, very, very good win. We'll talk about Ipswich and Liverpool a little bit later. Tagaro has dropped a super chat in on YouTube. He says, should simulation diving be penalised more harshly relative to the action that caused it? I was embarrassed by Diaz's action. The game will never proper globally with bullshit like that. Disgraceful and weak. I actually do think that, you know, the it's minimal contact from Shaw. It's a technical red card, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you see that, right, with no context, you'll think you get rewarded for doing that if you're Diaz. So everyone else will do it.
And that's the message, isn't it? You know, it's the whole...
It's the refereeing that's the problem. And
look, it doesn't just happen with headbutts. We see it with a 50-50 tackle. If there's an element of stud,
and then the
referee gets conned and goes, that's probably a red, and VAR will save me. And then VAR looks at it and goes, I can see why he's giving it, and you end up with a red card. You wanted to talk about the Kovacic one, which I actually thought was probably not a penalty.
My word, I'm sat at home having a lovely, relaxful evening on a Sunday watching the game. You go on Twitter, Anthony Taylor again. This is definitely a handball. I'm like, read the rule book. The rules have changed. His hand's in a natural position. It hits it quite closely. It's not a penalty. Move on. No conspiracy theories. And then you go on to say about Kovacic scoring the goal. Well, no.
Keeper
should have saved it. Run through a midfield three, costing £300 million. So maybe have a look at that as well. And I think you have to say, okay, referees are bad. I've got it wrong here. Hands up. I apologise to the PGMOL.
You're never going to get that from me.
I think you should.
They can do a lot better than that. I tell you what, though, Anthony Taylor should not be refereeing Chelsea games, in my opinion, because even if he got every decision right yesterday, it's so toxic around him. I'd feel sorry for him and I feel sorry for Chelsea. The only thing I would say about that game is Man City deserved to win it. I thought Chelsea were a shambles. I got a lot of bad feedback from Chelsea fans. I don't care. I think you were shambolic.
It's just strange, isn't it, Chelsea?
You know what it is about Chelsea? I don't mind West Ham having a new manager and giving them a bit of patience, and Liverpool, etc. But you, this is self-inflicted. Like, watching Chelsea with all the talent they've got and having to, you know, watch another new project is tiresome as a non-Chelsea fan. I also thought that you compare that first 45 minutes to Ipswich. It was just very submissive, very boring, very slow in possession. I was like, is that what Chelsea are going to be? But in fairness to Chelsea, yep, it's going to take a bit of time. I get that. They are starting yet another new project. But I did think that the coverage of the game was a bit dubious, in the sense that just before half-time and Nkunku went down, we never even saw the replay of that.
We did.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah. The one where Diaz came.
No. That was Enzo and Diaz. There was one where Nkunku sort of went past the Lewis and Kovacic, I think it was, and they never showed it again. I think it probably was a dive, but I never saw it again. Yeah. The handball for me... Just before we talk about what Raheem Sterling said, I think that the handball should be given as a handball, because the cross is going into a dangerous area and his hand is not natural.
It's down here.
No, it's out like
down.
He's hailing a bloody taxi.
No, it's not. Get it down. It's further down.
But you're right. I did read the rules, and again, I don't know who the PGMOL think they are. They think they're talking to idiots, because what they've done is they've made it broad.
I think they made it better.
No, they haven't. They've basically said, we think there was a few handballs last year that were, you know, basically because the hand was in a natural position, and we want to get rid of those. And I'm like, next week, that Kovacic handball will get given in a different game, and that's the problem.
Disagree.
All right, so if we're not having any handballs now where the ball is near your hand and it's out, fine.
Yeah. That's fine.
That won't happen, though. I guarantee you.
I think it will.
Let's talk about Raheem Sterling. Give us a bit of context.
Well, yeah, I think there's a greater issue at Chelsea, just in terms of some of the players that we've seen stuff with Ben Chilwell, which we'll come on to as well. But Raheem Sterling obviously was omitted from the whole squad. Then the thing was that a statement came out, and I think I thought of it as well, that Sterling had released it on his own socials, when actually it was a journalist, I think from the Daily Mail, had spoke to their camp. They'd given him a response, they'd posted it, saying, you know, he trained well. And obviously there's just a lot of discourse around that. Rio Ferdinand's done his podcast this morning saying that, and him and Joni Lescott saying that the treatment's wild. Apparently that Sterling been told by the club, you know, all's good, but then different messages from the manager. But I just think, when you look at that Chelsea team, very young, youthful side, but could do with experience.
So let me get a hat on this. Rio Ferdinand and Jolene Lescott and whoever else he's got on his podcast are basically saying that the treatment of Sterling is unfair, and the comment and the statement is justified.
They didn't really go into the statement, but yeah, they're just saying the treatment of him is wild. And I think there's been a few, Jody Morris was also speaking about it, saying that there's a few players that are just like getting response by email. I think like Trevor Chalabar was like left out of the America tour. So they're just, the treatment from the club, I think it's a bit all over the place.
Right. I've got a take on this. I think that the, I agree that the treatment of Conor Gallagher hasn't been good because I did a video on it last week. I agree the treatment of Trevor Chalabar hasn't been good, but the context of that is they're homegrown players that they can make profits on. And the treatment of Chelsea with some players, obviously it's very easy to have a pop at them. I think what Ferdinand's saying protecting Sterling is probably mates rates and players, because what you're telling me is that Chelsea and Raheem Sterling, basically Sterling has a divine right to play because he's had a good pre-season. I looked at that bench. You've got Mudryk, Madueke and Neto on the bench. One of them misses out for Sterling. Do they put a statement out because they've had a good pre-season? Ultimately, Raheem Sterling's not on the bench. Jadon Sancho wasn't on the bench for Manchester United. You know, moaning about it is just big time Charlie, because it's like, well, I've been told that I'm part of the plans and then I'm not on the bench for the first game of the season. I think it's absolutely disgraceful. Well, no, I don't. I think you wind your neck in. First game of the season, you've got a Europa League game on Thursday. You're probably going to play in that. Play well in that. You might play in the next game. Yeah. I mean, it's,
no, but I just think
I'm not surprised by it. But if I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be like, keep your gob shut. You're on 250 grand a week. You've got 3 years left on your contract. You've got the power, mate. You're going to earn £1 million a month. Chelsea probably are trying to get rid of you. You've just made Chelsea's job even harder. Look, Sterling wants to play for Chelsea. But what about Conor Gallagher? He's done nothing wrong.
Oh, no, yeah.
One of their best players last year, done nothing wrong, probably wants to play in that game, isn't playing in that game. He's been to Spain, not even been on holiday. Thought he was going to Atletico Madrid. He's back again. He hasn't put a statement out, has he? So I just think I have a bit of class.
No, the statement was weird, but I think there's a lot of people thinking it should come from Sterling. So I think that probably needs to be changed in some people's minds. Like, we don't need four paragraphs to understand why Raheem Sterling's not been featured in the first match day squad.
But what?
But I think that ties back to other players in the Premier League where they just get this group of people around them, whether it's family or people at him, and it's just... I bet Sterling was like, oh yeah, put something out, and then he just looked at his phone and then there's about five paragraphs detailing it as like some sort of war crime or something, and it's just come out and he's like, well, I just said maybe say something, but there's a five paragraph statement coming out.
I don't know what he thinks he's doing. The word camp gets on my nerves, to be honest with you, because that is something we've had at United. I'm sure other clubs have had it as well. What's all this? The Raheem Sterling camp is really disappointed. The only camp you're part of is the Chelsea camp.
Yeah.
And it's even if you didn't think the statement was going to come out, what do you think happens when you speak to a journalist?
Yeah.
I've got no sympathy.
And the speed of that, as well. Like, so he probably finds out an hour before, maybe 2 hours before.
Yeah.
Bam. Camp to journalist. Journalist out. Statement done. So it's just, as much as I think Sterling has probably been treated a little bit unfairly, like you said, with Conor Gallagher, you've just got to keep your head down. And he should know it as an experienced player.
Apparently it's 300 grand a week. I mean, look, I don't think there's many nurses out there who are working double time on, their wage.
Oh, yeah, but that's a tired...
No, it's
come
not
on.
A tired thing, though, is it?
Because,
let's feel sorry for Raheem Sterling because he didn't make the match day squad
but
300 grand a week.
But that's not on Sterling, though, is it? I genuinely think Sterling's probably been absolutely blindsided by this statement. There's no way he's wrote that.
Yeah, but Sancho did this last year as well. Keep your gob shut.
No, I know, but...
You're disrespecting Chelsea Football Club and Chelsea fans by being what's going to come across as a really spoilt brat. You're on huge money. You've been left out of a matchday squad. It's not like... Look, if I looked at that bench and they haven't got a winger on it, I think as a Chelsea fan, I'm going, what's going on? But if I look at that bench and go, right, the manager's decided... I mean, I'd have Sterling on the bench ahead of Mudryk, 100%. But if the manager decides Mudryk, Madueke and Neto, three wingers on that bench...
Why do you keep saying Mudryk like that?
I don't know. Then the manager must be allowed to manage. And maybe it is a mistake to not put Sterling there. But who's the manager of Chelsea? Maresca.
Yeah.
And Todd Boehly.
Yeah, you're right, and I think I'm right as well. I just generally think that the whatever this camp is, like, needs to be readjusted, because Raheem Sterling ain't getting any younger. Mm. Like, and these probably things are going to come up again. And a new manager has put out a team, and he's been blindsided by Sterling. And that, you know, that sours the taste in the mouth for many Chelsea
fans.
It's
one player causing a massive issue. And then, honestly, I'm glad we do stuff like this. Thanks everyone who's tuning in and listening in as well, because, you know, this is the world we live in. You need different opinion, because you do get ex-players like Rio and co who come out and back Sterling because they've cleared the game.
No, but
and they probably look at it and go, oh, I'd be gutted as well. I get that you're gutted. Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I'd be more interested, and I don't know if they went into it, to talk about like the people that are now surrounding players. Because when Rio was probably a player, and like Jurrien Lescott, like you... I feel like it's sort of come into the game, but I bet,
to be fair, when Rio was playing, if he got left out of a team, it would be because Sir Alex Ferguson would tell him. And now there's probably so much going on.
About emails like coming around.
Well, you can't argue about that.
Daniel Mortensen says, can you please talk about the incident at Wolves, basically? I don't know if you saw this. Jesus was on the floor, I think it was. He got choked by one of the defenders. Just the VAR said they looked at it and it was...
I did see it. I mean, look, they're, you know, we've spoken about the big VAR issues, and I think it's an absolute disgrace. I'm tired of saying it, but we won't stop saying it. And I think that there was probably plentiful other decisions that we could highlight. I did see that one, now you mention it, and I saw it and I thought, well, I saw Casemiro got sent off for grabbing someone's collar, and he's basically pinned him down on the floor around the neck. At the end of the day, I didn't expect a red card, but you're right, it is a red card. And again, it's that inconsistency. And I think consistency is such a word in football at the moment that could solve so many problems. When you look at Arsenal in that game, I just thought they picked... And I think it's really difficult to do it. They picked up from last season and went straight into this season against Wolves. And Wolves had their moments, but for Arsenal, it was just a ruthless 2-0 win, consistency, and... Look, they didn't reinvent the wheel. They didn't play any of their new signings. Mm. But they were just ridiculously what Arsenal are about now. Now, whether they can close that gap with Man City, and we spoke about the Chelsea game, Man City left out Foden, Stones, Rodri and Walker. Mm. Go to Stamford Bridge and still win 2-0. I mean...
He looked good, didn't he? The new
Savio.
Winger. Savinho?
You can call him Savio or Savinho, apparently.
I'll call him Savio then. Yeah, he looked very tidy, didn't he? Just so direct. And I think we just mentioned Cucurella there as well. They're talking about, I mean, what an absolute great summer he did, singing songs about Haaland, and then gets absolutely sat down by him and then gets bought off. Well, he was injured. But
I think it's scary because we do our Premier League predictions, and you talk about Manchester City, and I think I mentioned it yesterday, but I'll say it again here just to let it drop.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors.
What other team in the Premier League, when we talk about Man City, we know obviously it's a big season for them with the Chargers, but if you praise Man City, the juggernaut that they are is because of the depth of the squad they are, and that's because Pep Guardiola, across the next 5 months, will give people time off so that across the season their fitness is good. I mean, if you're giving up, I mean, Foden and Stones and Walker are English. Kobbie Mainoo played 80 minutes on Friday night. Mm. If he's at Man City, he's getting the weekend off because he played for England. Yeah. And not only that, you're not home to Fulham. You're away to Stamford. He's leaving out four key players because he's got a squad that he knows that he can not only give them an extra week off, but he knows he can not drop points as well. It's incredible the depth they've got. And I thought that both Man City and Arsenal looked ominously ruthless.
Yeah, and that's good from an Arsenal perspective because we need someone to go head to head with them, don't we? So I think those Arsenal just need to eliminate the Villa at home defeat, and literally one performance would win them the Premier League.
I mean, I did see a certain clip over the weekend. Mr. Robbie, he was on the channel.
The Don.
He was holding the mic, and he was on the right side of the mic for this one because there was an Arsenal fan basically having a pop at Arteta. I think it was in the context of Emery or Arteta.
Yeah, he said that Emery was a better manager.
But you know what? There is a debate there that Emery's a better manager than Arteta. Of course there is. But Emery's got a much bigger CV than Arteta. His first job is Arsenal. He took on a sinking ship. He's basically steadied the ship. And now the ship is close to winning the race as well. And I think that... I know social media projects a demand for... you know, a shouty voice and that moment. But trust me, in the football arena, that doesn't work anymore. You know, it worked 6 years ago. You know, you might be a DT or a troops or whoever else did it at that time and start shouting and everything like that. But people want more than that now. It's a very competitive space and you've got to have more than a shouty clip. You'll still get the views off it. That clip did very, very well. But if that guy's only argument is Arteta's not better than Emery and we need to replace him, it'll become very tired and very boring very, very quickly. I just find it weird. And we'll talk about United in a bit. I don't get it. It's just, are these people doing it because that they want that clip and they think, oh, this is a controversial, or do they actually believe that nonsense that there is an issue with Mikel Arteta at Arsenal? Because I just think what he's done to that football club is unbelievable. And yeah, all right, you've had 100 million for Rice, but the style of football is good. The defence is rock solid. They haven't really got a striker and yet they still score goals. Saka is massively underrated. And they start the season like they finished last season. And trust me, as a Man United fan who remembers the glory days, the amount of times under Sir Alex we'd start the season badly and it'd take us time to go. It's really difficult to have 3 months. Well, we see it after an international break. You have 2 weeks off and you've lost a bit of rhythm. To start the season like that and seamlessly be like they were last year, I think it bodes really well for Arsenal. And I just think that, yeah, it was very similar to last season and therefore you might go it was a little bit dull, but it's ruthless.
Well, yeah. Also, I think for both of those managers, it's like a happy divorce if you're an Arsenal fan. Like you've got a new dad who's Mikel Arteta. He sort of come in at the right time and got the right time to grow, because you know those first couple of seasons people were shouting for his head, and he's grown into the role. And look at Emery. Emery's MO is like he wants to have the full hands, be the full puppeteer, like Pep, and have everything across the club, isn't it? So he's got his director of football and he's got all the different parts of the club and he runs Aston Villa, whereas at Arsenal he was butting heads with different people and didn't have that, so it was never going to work. So Emery's happy, Villa fans are happy, 99.9% of Arsenal fans are happy with Arteta. So that's when you boil down to, well, why are you saying that then? Because you can't believe that.
Yeah, I think the context of it is it's an Arsenal fan who's got an issue with Arteta using Emery to make an argument.
How can you have an issue with Arteta?
I don't know, but some people do. On the argument of Emery or Arteta, I actually think Emery is a better coach than Arteta because of what he's done and where he's done it. But again, Arteta's first job is Arsenal. Measuring that 3 or 4 years against what Emery's done at the likes of Villarreal and what he's doing at Villa is very, very different. So
that's why
I would say judge Arteta in 10 years' time. But at the moment, of course, Emery's a better coach. He's took Villa into the Champions League. He's done a very, very good job in Spain. But who's better for Arsenal right now? Arteta.
Yeah.
So who's the better coach? Doesn't manage with... Emery's a better coach, so he'd be a better job at Arsenal. That's bullshit.
And also, like, Arteta could go on to have a very similar career to like Pep Guardiola, whereas if he does well at Arsenal, get to Premier League, maybe get to Champions League, he's going to be at a certain level where maybe his next job is a Bayern Munich, is a Barcelona. Whereas Emery, like, I feel like he's at the perfect level where, you know, where Liverpool were a couple of years ago where Klopp comes in. You need to find it at the right time where you can be that challenger.
Mm.
And Emery has found that with Aston Villa. Plus, they've got billionaire owners and got the backing. So it's just perfect. You know, not everything's going to work out, and it has done for both of them. So just be happy. Let's have a smile on your face.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, look, talking about the Premier League weekends, I mean, Arsenal, Man City were just, I wouldn't say mundane, boring or dull. They were just ruthlessly get the job done, opening weekend, no dramas. We move. I think in the context of the weekend, there wasn't really any scintillating performance that sort of got you excited. Maybe we'll get it from Spurs tonight.
Brighton looked good.
Brighton did look good. We're going to talk about Everton in a minute. I mean, I want to talk about Liverpool.
Yeah.
Watched that game. Thought Ipswich were brilliant for 45 minutes. I heard Arnie Slot after the game and he basically said what I said, which was, I'm not saying that I'm taking credit for it, but I think everybody else saw it as well. He said Ipswich were aggressive. They won all the second balls. They defended really well. They went one man for man. And then in the second half, he obviously gave them a bit of a kick up the arse. The intensity went up from Liverpool. They started to win the one-on-ones and then they got a couple of goals.
What did you think about the Quanta stuff?
What was happening with that?
Well, he bought him off at half time, and then in the post-match interview, he was like, we weren't winning enough duels. Quanta wasn't winning enough duels. And he just sort of he definitely didn't throw him under the bus, but he was, and I don't know if it's like a sort of lost in translation thing, because generally Dutch people are quite direct, which is probably a good thing. But he was just very direct about him, and you could see Quanta on the bench just looking like he'd been told that was the end of life.
Like SP here in the chat says Quanta sub was brilliant. I love it.
Marine. Yeah, no, I agree with it. It's just the treatment of the player.
Yeah, but you know what? We live in that. We've spoken about Sterling there, and you know Rio and everyone looking at it from Sterling's point of view. It's Chelsea Football Club. It's Chelsea football fans. You've disrespected it with that, you know, moodiness, and also Kwanzaa getting subbed off at half time. It's not an illegal move. You can be subbed off at any point. He subbed you off. The game changed. Yeah. The manager got it right,
and he might think that as well.
Kwanzaa's got a very good future. You look at that. You know, you learn more from a knock than you do from a win. And
that's nice, Jake Humphrey, that.
He said I could use it, as he invented, as we know, those sort of statements. But no, look, I think from Liverpool's point of view, the change in the second half was very impressive. Okay, Ipswich might have run out of a bit of steam, and I thought they were impressive in the 45 minutes, but in the second half, it could have been 4 or 5 nil. Liverpool absolutely killed them.
Yeah, and that was evident for that first goal, wasn't it? Like, Leif Davis just leaves Salah.
Yeah.
In behind, he's like, offside. That's a bit Sunday league.
Well, Pratt of the Week probably should be me, because I'm sat there having said on this show that my prediction for Player of the Year is Mo Salah, and I'm watching my fantasy Premier League team disintegrate, and I'm going, how can you predict Mo Salah's going to be Player of the Year and then not put him in your fantasy Premier League team? Yeah.
You know what was staggering? In my league, I think I was the only one to have Haaland as captain. He's won the Golden Boot for the last two seasons.
I didn't captain him. Isaac.
Yeah, mental.
I'll be doing it next week against Ipswich.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. But, you know, just on Salah as well, I had the radio on when I was coming in, and talking about Pratt, Simon Jordan said at the end of last season that he doesn't rate Mo Salah, world class, thinks he's a bit of a hit and miss player. And he was trying to justify it again by going, what I was actually saying was that sometimes he's just not world class. Mm. And I was like, I thought Saka was brilliant for Arsenal, and I for some reason I just don't think he gets the credit he deserves. Salah, I don't understand why he's not up for the Ballon d'Or every year. I mean, what more can you do? I think if he was French or Brazilian, I think just because it's a bit like Son, isn't it? If you play for a lesser nationality team in relation to the focus, you just don't seem to be in that Ballon d'Or conversation. I just think Mo Salah is, and I hate saying it as a United fan, but I mean, he's just so influential. Like, it's so influential. Even when teams keep him quiet, you're talking about that left back going, what a great 45 minutes he's had keeping Mo Salah quiet. Yeah. Like, he's the definition of world class, because even when he doesn't play well, you're massively bigging up the player that's kept him quiet.
And I think the worrying thing is it's one of them cases where he'd probably have to retire for some certain Pratt for him to really appreciate him. Mm. Like, just sit him down and watch the 300 goals that he will have scored across his career. And the fact that he keeps up his goal and assist record to where it is, like, you know, he looked fresh. He looked good with that new haircut as well. I think he looks like a fresh Mo Salah, which could be very intimidating for the league. And I think for Liverpool, just to get that win and just focus on that second half performance. I had Jota in my fantasy team. He should have had a few more, shouldn't he?
He should have done, but Diaz was very disappointing.
Diaz was disappointing.
I've never understood why Liverpool fans are so frustrated with Luis Diaz, and I saw it at the weekend. God, he's infuriating. His final ball is just awful, awful.
And then you go to the other wing, and then that's what Mo Salah does, like, with the consistency, isn't it? It's not maybe all flares and tricks and trying to beat a man. It's just very consistent, knowing where everything is, knowing where the goal is, and nicking that second like he did.
I mean, Luis Diaz is a good player. I'm just saying he's a bit frustrating.
What did you, make of Carragher coming out and basically saying about the
Klopp?
Yeah, saying it's a bit of an exciting job rather than a hard job. That it's not Arne's slot, is it? Did you hear him all saying? I don't know if it was a Premier League thing. It's Arne's slot.
Okay, respect on that. I think Carragher is, Carragher is one of them people who, it's a bit like that Dumb and Dumber line, isn't it? You know, just when you think they can't say anything stupid again, they come out with something that totally redeems themselves. And I thought, you know, he's absolutely spot on. He basically said that a lot of people are saying that the taking over from Jurgen Klopp is like the hardest job in the world. Actually, it's a really exciting job. And I've been saying for a while now that I actually think that Slot will do well, because he just, all right, his style of football is not the same as Klopp, but it's not far off it. And all those players are so indoctrinated over many years. Yeah. There's a lot of young players coming through. I mean, they've not bought anyone. For a new manager to come into a team and not be backed with any signings is weird. And that's not a criticism of Liverpool. I think there is money there, but I think Slot's just gone, well, I need a bit of time to assess it. Actually, there's not much wrong with it. If I'm bringing something in, I want it to be better than what I've got. And at the moment, I'm pretty happy with what I've got.
And also, for like, I think what Pep does, which we don't speak about a lot, is just having the balance of the squad right. But and also, you think a lot of those players who are sort of, you consider second 11 rotation option, are either young players or almost accepting the fact that they're squad players. So when you bring in Connor Bradley on, young player, Simakast knows he's the backup left back. Some of the midfielders that came on, like, and you've still got Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott, like, want to be in that first 11, but probably understand the role. So you have, at the moment, probably got the right dynamics in that squad in terms of the layers.
Good options on the bench in the attack as well, Nunez and Gakpo.
Did Nunez come on?
No, he didn't come on.
Yeah.
No, but very good options. Liverpool look good. Playing Man United in a couple of weeks. We'll obviously be talking about that. Talking about Manchester United, we opened the weekend and look, I said in my match reaction straight after the game that I get it. It was a little bit like, you know, building up for the greatest party ever and it was okay. That's what happens though. Expectations are high. It's probably like the Premier League weekend. That's how you could summarise it, wasn't it? Yeah. We're all hyped, excited about it. VAR's back. Some of the games didn't live up to it, but it was okay. And I think with Manchester United, I would say, look, it wasn't amazing, but when you analyse it, it wasn't bad. And we've got, we know we need a holding midfielder. We didn't start with a striker. We didn't start De Ligt, Yoro's injured, so there's a bit of work to do on the spine. And when you compare it to Wolves last season, well, Wolves should have had a penalty. Wolves should have beat us. Wolves had loads of chances. We conceded a lot of chances all season. And in the Fulham game, I can't think of a clear-cut chance, but beyond the Xerxes winner, Bruno had two chances he should have scored. Mount should have scored one. All right, we're 1-0 up, so that's why the Garnacho open goal happens. But United, for 1-0, you could never turn that into 1-1 or 2-1 to Fulham. You could easily turn it into 2 or 3-0 for Man United, which is opening day. Very good. So I don't really get people saying we were lucky.
No, yeah, I just thought it was a solid performance. It was a pretty boring game, I thought. It was a very, very average.
There was a lot of boring games this weekend, though.
Yeah, to be fair. The Villa one, I only caught half of it, but that was probably the most.
Villa was a good game for half an hour.
Blues Wickham was very good, but not a lot of people watched that one. I just feel like that. Like, I haven't really got, like,
Get the three points.
I mean, you can pin a lot of stuff on the Xerxes goal as well. Just great for him to get off the mark.
Lovely finish.
Great finish as well. And like, No, Garnacho put the cross in as well. They felt like they were doing a lot of that early ball in just to try and beat the man as quick as they could. So yeah, just solid stuff. I mean, it's better than Ten Hag's first season. Better than the second season.
Evolution Ninan says what we really need to talk about is who does Chelsea need to sign next to solve these problems.
Yeah,
he's been sarcastic. It's funny.
He's been sarcastic, but just back on Chelsea, like at the weekend, they didn't score a goal and the keeper made a mistake. And we've been saying they need to sign a keeper and a striker for ever since Bowley's been there. Like, it's just absolutely crazy, isn't it?
I don't understand the Chelsea fans who stick up for Nicholas Jackson. I mean,
oh my, the absolute pinpoint of that was, you know, when he went through and he was offside.
Yeah.
One, he should have stayed onside. Two, he dribbled it for so long.
So many chances.
Three, his shot was awful. It's just like, what are you doing? Like, who's backing this guy?
The camera angle did him dirty on that one as well, because we're looking as he cuts in, so we can see the opportunities to put it in the bottom corner. He ignores it for 3 seconds. But the worst one for me was the Cole Palmer shot. You know he's shooting.
Yeah. Oh, and he blocks
it. And he's offside.
Yeah.
And he scores, but he's offside. He's got very little IQ as a footballer. But no, back on Man United, I think it's just a win. Brighton will be tough. We'll talk about Everton now. And I think that there's just so much, as I mentioned with Arsenal, there's so much negativity around Man United.
I think you've come off you've got United stand and that's football, right? You've come off a pre-season of United stand and Ten Hag, it's all happy camp, right? So you're going into that game, like you just said, there's probably a lot of expectations and you're in it, you're entrenched in it. Whereas I came away from it, like, I didn't actually think there was that much negativity around it. I think the good stuff is there's a lot of United fans like yourself fighting back against that stuff. So it's sort of that siege mentality.
I just think it's like, even I think De Ligt's the prime example of it. It's like there is
misinformation around it.
Ferdinand was negative about it. Scholes was negative about it. Louis Sahar was negative about it. Obviously, Souness, etc. were
Luke
negative
Chadwick
about it.
Was a...
Neville on Friday night is like, I don't really know why they bought De Ligt. I thought they wanted someone who could play a high line who was a bit quicker. And I'm like, oh, he's never watched De Ligt play. And I'm like, but even if he hasn't watched him play, it's a bit, there seems to be this is one game away from the sack mentality. And
yeah, but I just think you've like.
But we're clearly building.
This is Manchester United.
No, but I just think
there's got to be an understanding that, and now you have got this siege mentality where everyone's backing Ten Hag, you know, which is really good.
But are they? That's my point.
I think a lot of people are. Well, you've not seen anyone outside the ground going Ten Hag or Unai Emery.
The fans is the good thing.
No, that's what I mean.
It's hard and tiring to start a season knowing that, you know, those calls for TalkSport on Friday night were all ready to be.
Yeah, but like, yeah, but yeah, like, that's Manchester, because it's Manchester United.
But I just think it's, yeah, I just get a bit tiring because I think that, you know,
and you beat Fulham 1-0, so it's like, that's fine.
Yeah, but we're not ready. I think Ten Hag said a couple of weeks
ago, you should be top four this year.
Yeah, but we're not ready to start this season because we've still bought players in a bit late. We've still got players to come in. We've still got players to sell. And if you look at West Ham, very exciting. They're nowhere near ready for the start of this season. And I don't think United
are as bad
as West Ham.
You can't compare yourself to West Ham.
No, West Ham have got more integration to do, but we have as well. I think going back to continuity, it's great to keep Ten Hag because there's continuity. But if you look at Liverpool, the only thing they've changed is their manager. Their whole team and ethos and rhythm and personality and relationships. And look at Arsenal, complete continuity. Look at Man City, complete continuity. The teams that have done well this weekend are the teams that really have got teams that you know, that know each other. And all right, Arne Slot's a new manager, but that team knows each other.
Exactly, and that's been the
and
best.
Villa at West Ham, they know each other against the West Ham team that's won the transfer window. Villa were much better.
Newcastle down to 10 men.
Yeah, know each other. Continuity.
Podcast, me and you, not seen each other for 4 days. Straight
continuity.
Back in, know each other. Continuity. Let's look down the bottom of the table because I think we'd be remiss to not speak about Brighton's fantastic performance about Everton, but then touch about Everton getting...
Some people would say I might be, you know, being as they banned me from Goodison Park, that was on the podcast last year. I might be laughing this Monday morning about Everton.
And that's great. You've made it about yourself. That's very well done.
Well,
there.
It is. I like to do that, as you know. But I think that with regards to Everton, I do. I like Everton, despite being banned.
And no, it's just going into a season with Ashley Young as your right back at the age of 39. I mean, if you're in the youth academy or you're a backup player there, you just be thinking, please, Lord, give me a chance.
Well, we all go into a new season full of hope and expectation, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like, I'm trying to think, the season Man United beat Chelsea. I think it was Mourinho. We beat them 4-0 and Chelsea played better than us and we somehow won 4-0. And I was thinking, you know what? You don't have to play well to win the league. Mm. Just do that every week and we'll win the title. And you start to think it can happen. And obviously it doesn't happen. And I think with Everton fans, they'd be like, oh, we've had God knows how many years where they're fighting relegation and let's see what happens this year. And then within, what, less than, well, certainly 45 minutes, you're losing, then Ashley Young sent off, you're at home, you're getting battered. It was 3-0, not 4-0, because the late goal was offside. And you go, it's another season in the trenches, Will.
Yeah, I think like they had moments. I think they had the disallowed goal for Jack Harrison. They had a few more attacking moments, but especially in that last 20, 15 minutes, they just got picked apart, didn't they? And more for me, because obviously that Hertzler, they've gone into the season with him. We didn't know a lot about him. And I was almost criticising the Brighton model, saying, like, this is going to run out of smoke. Yes, it's Goodison Park. Yes, it's Everton. But, I mean, it was a fantastic performance from, like, Minter, who, you know, I'd not seen in the... Well, he's not featured in the Premier League, but I'd not seen much of him. He looked great. Danny Welbeck just seems to be, like, a fine wine, just getting better with age and scoring a great goal. And it just looks... And Matoma back as well. Like, you forget about all these players. And they just look good. And it just... The Ashley Young challenge just looked...
What's he doing playing football in 2024? I mean, I ridiculed him a lot last season. I liked Ashley Young at Manchester United 10 years ago. He's playing games for Everton at right back in the Premier League in 2024. And look, it's no... I mean, I know
it was the Forest game, wasn't it, when he gave... He was at fault for three of the goals.
That's just... He's probably on a good wage as well. That's the thing. Ashley Young won't be doing it for a cheap wage. He'll be on a good wage. So they're paying a good wage for a player that's past it. And that's not disrespectful. I mean, age catches up with everybody.
It's really like Ben Foster, isn't it, last season?
Yeah, and look, Rooney at the end with Man United, I was like, legend of the club. Mm. He's got to stop playing.
Yeah.
He's you know, and Ashley Young playing games for Everton. But I look at that Everton side and I go... You know, there's not a lot to get excited about there. They won't go down because Dyche will get them enough points to stay up. But the football's not that great.
Yeah.
It's going to be another season where Everton fans quite rightly expect to be at least fighting for mid-table. It's going to be bottom half of the table. It's going to be the same old disappointment. And it must be exhausting.
Yeah, but I just think there's a lot more like fresh, you know, from that Kieran McKenna's Ipswich Town performance.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, I don't know, there feels like...
You get rid of Dyche then?
No, I wouldn't get rid of Dyche, but I just think there needs
to... let's say Everton are going to finish not bottom three, but bottom six. Surely you'd rather finish bottom six as an Everton fan with the style of football that you want to watch than just be, well, Dyche will keep it as up.
Like, they've lost the Nana. Like, they could lose Branthwaite by the end of the window.
Yeah.
I think they're regressing. It's not like they've taken a step forward, is it? It's not like where Villa have got Onana for Luiz and a direct replacement. Like, because of the financial restrictions, there's talk of even more points deductions for them this season, which we'll come on to. But
apparently,
like,
their youth is not what it was. So it's not like they're, you know, they're getting...
Well, think of that catchment area in the North, never eat shredded wheat, Northwest. You're just going to get picked apart by Liverpool, United and City, aren't you? So... I do worry for them because they're taking a step back, and Sean Dyche, very pragmatic manager. That performance last year against Liverpool, for me, ultimate Dyche, but like, going to need more of them.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Everton and just go, they're not a very Everton side anymore. I don't think Goodison's the fortress that it was, and obviously it's going to be a new stadium very, very soon. But Man United have got Brighton on Saturday. It's going to be a very interesting Saturday lunchtime game because, I mean, it's hard really because it's not like, you know, Everton fell apart after the red card as well. That's always going to, you know, home side's got to have a go, haven't it? Opens it up for a team like Brighton. But new manager, lots of players back, some new signings as well.
I like the cut of his jib, I did. His post-match press conference.
I can't remember who it was, but I did see a clip the other day of, I think it might have been, I don't think it was an ex-player, it might have been a YouTuber, saying that they think Brighton might be in the bottom three.
I could sort of not, I wouldn't put them in the bottom three, but like going into, but yeah, again, they just blow expectations out.
Well, you put Wolves in the bottom three.
No, I didn't.
You did. What? You said you think Wolves might be in a relegation battle.
Yeah.
Like, well, what's...
We just lost. Did they win the first game?
How do you be in the relegation battle if you're not in the bottom three?
But in the bottom six. You could be in a battle. Yeah, and if me and you are having a battle... And I win, I've won the battle.
Well, Man City are in a relegation battle then because they're in the Premier League.
No, now you're being facetious.
I am. Wolves won't be in a relegation battle. Brighton certainly won't.
Exactly. And I agree. Don't agree with that full statement.
G says, what's your thoughts on Brereton Diaz? You should have been here for the acting at the start. It was, I'll tell you what, I'll be surprised. Actually, I'm looking at my phone, so I've not had any messages, but I would have thought at least the head producer of the EastEnders would be going, the EastEnders.
Also coming out this morning, Leicester City, there was an article, I think, in the Telegraph basically saying that they could face 2 points deductions. I feel very conflicted on this because the season in the Premier League feels like it's going to get done in the courtroom and done at hearings from Manchester City, and it feels like we're pending that. But then if you look into Leicester,
which we will do tonight and watch along.
Yeah, exactly. Tonight's
can't
the big
get me
one.
Words out. Which we'll do tonight.
Been on that Guinness down there. Leicester, obviously Premier League, they were charged or they had stuff going against them. Going to the EFL without worry, they said, we're going to have an active case on you. The signings that they made like just blow people out of the water. So they're overspending there. And I think that case has been brought forward to the Premier League now. So they could face 2 points deductions. And then also, like, for me, I'm not a Championship fan now, but an EFL fan. Like, you look at Burnley coming down. Like, I think they won 5-0 against Cardiff at the weekend. So, you speak about teams coming up not having the quality. Well, when they come down, it's like a separate league in its own because they're just blowing teams away. So I think overall, we just don't want the Premier League to be done over hearings and courtroom, do we?
Tell you what, Will, I'll never get that 2 minutes back. I mean...
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, the bottom level of football, Mark.
The only bit I'm
that's why you missed the Crystal Palace decision.
The Man City thing pricked my ears up and then you didn't talk about it. I mean, look, points deduction or not, Leicester are going to go down.
We've not seen them play football yet.
No. Well, I'll need to say...
That's your problem because you're not listening about Leicester. You're not bothered about Palace and Eze scoring the goal and then you send out a little tweet later on going, sorry, I've missed this. I am watching all football. When you're not, you're a top six car horse.
I agree with what Ty says. Leicester have broke the rules. They should get deducted.
Maybe I should have said that just in a more succinct manner.
Yeah. What else have we got Premier League wise? I'm thinking Brentford very quickly winning against Palace. Yeah, obviously, we sort of spoke about that. Yeah, Ivan Toney's probably going to go, but Palace, the goal was a disgrace.
Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Bad injury happened for Danilo.
Yeah, I hope he gets better soon.
Yeah. Not a bad point for Bournemouth.
Everything was quite standard at the weekend.
It was a bit meh.
I thought the Chelsea-Man City game could kick. Chelsea had that spell before half-time, didn't they? But do you want to... Well, Pratt of the Week, we've mentioned a few different people.
Go on.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
It looked like you were middle-finger me there.
Oh, yeah.
Steady on. I've got Mike Dean and Sky Sports for just hiring him for another season. He jumps into the coverage and they were talking about the offside one with Nicholas Jackson and they took the free kick at the wrong bit. And Gary Neville's literally asking a question. He's like, that's wrong, isn't it? And Mike Dean's just like, not answering. I'm like, you've got one job, Mike. Answer the question. Graham Souness.
I think Sky Sports News, looking at the people they recruit and the clothes they wear, Mike Dean's probably not that bad.
No, well, you've got a shirt on today. What are you trying to prove?
Just, it was a bit cooler today.
Well, you felt a bit cooler.
No, the weather's a bit cooler. I mean, I've got no respect for the PGMOL, so I've certainly got no respect for Mike Dean or what's his name? Well, I'm sure he's been on today, Ref Watch.
Well, that's funny. I was just thinking that. I think we should do this. We're doing this show just before 12 every week now, and I think it's the perfect time to coincide with Ref Watch. That means we don't have to watch it.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, Will, you know, I know that there's a bit of a dive from Brereton Diaz, but the bottom line is he's touched his head, he could have killed him, and he really should be looking at 10 years behind bars. Yep. That's what I'm saying. Also, what else was controversial? The Ezzy one. Well, look, at the end of the day, we're not watching football for goals. No. He's put the whistle in his mouth, he's blown by accident, he's had a bit of a cough all weekend, he might have COVID. You know, what's going on?
Love that. That's our Ref Watch every week. Graham Souness, you threw in there. Gary Neville, I think, is a bit of a harsh nomination. Rio Ferdinand, do you want to put in there? I think that's harsh as well, but you can do.
No, well, I think sticking up for Raheem Sterling saying it's a disgrace or whatever he said is wrong, whether he's a prat or not. I understand as an ex-player, you've got an ego and you need an ego, but I don't think it's a disgrace not to put Raheem Sterling on the bench.
And Raheem Sterling's camp, we could put in Prat of the Week?
Yeah, put them on the Prat of the Week.
Who do you want to go for then? Who do you nominate?
VAR.
No,
it's got to be VAR.
It's got to be VAR.
What do you think in the chat?
I think Raheem Sterling's camp should be.
I mean, Raheem Sterling, for ultimately putting a statement out before the game, just because he's not on the bench. I mean, who do you think you are?
Yeah, but I say Raheem Sterling camp.
Who do you think you are?
Raheem Sterling's camp.
And look, Raheem Sterling's had a lot of shit unfairly over the years, let's just say. Yeah. You know, there's been stuff written about him and, you know, Raheem Sterling buys a new car. Why is that any different to any other player?
My good mate Adam Keyworth did the legendary thread that had all the headlines on there.
Yeah, and all that's bang out of order, but...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's Raheem Sterling's camp.
Yeah.
And he's to blame for that as well. But, like, there is a general entourage...
What's Souness done this week? Because Aaron says it should be Souness. Terp wants it to be Anthony Taylor.
Well, Souness was from the week where he was talking about Dalit, which obviously was before the Premier League started as well, but post our podcast happened.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's got to be on the opening day of the opening weekend of the Premier League to be talking about VAR is not acceptable. So therefore, Howard Webb and your crew and your camp, you are Prats of the Week.
You're a Pratt, he's a Pratt, she's a Pratt, they're whiny. Now it's time for Pratt of the Week. 1, 2, 3.
Disagree with that. But it's your name above the door, isn't it? So we have to go with that. Should we go down to the EFL? Now, we've had some exciting performances at the weekend.
We won't be on this for long, don't worry. Basically,
you bloody brought the feature in.
Yeah, well, I'm going to explain the feature in a little bit. Wait, you go. Should we just talk about the EFL? Right. Basically, what we said we would do this season, and I'm still open for transfer, by the way, is we've picked a team from the Championship, League One, League Two, and the National League to focus on. And we've asked everybody else to get involved as well. So let us know in the comments if your team did well. So I was wearing a Charlton shirt on Friday. They sent it to me. They said, we're over the moon that you have chosen Charlton as your League One team. I said, well, I have for the start of the season, but I've not signed a contract, so it could change. I'm glad to say I'm probably going to stick with Charlton, because they won again against Leyton Orient in the 90th minute with stoppage time. 2-2, League One, Charlton Athletic.
Yeah, well, let's go to the Championship. Before we get into it, Coventry, you've got at the moment, they won Friday night 3-2 in the last minute against Oxford.
I've got an option for you. Go on.
If you're swiping through on Tinder, Preston, they are looking for their third manager for the third game of the season. Ryan Lowe left. They had an interim manager. He played, he did the game and he said, I don't think this is for me. So one, do you want to throw your name in the hat? And two, do you want them to be your club going forward?
I don't know whether Preston will be my championship club, but considering Coventry's only down the road from me, I've not had a kit, I've not had no tickets, I've not even had a liked tweet. So Coventry, look, I gave you
maybe
a chance.
Maybe they don't like you.
Maybe they don't like me. Probably because Man United beat them last year. Maybe I've made a bad pick there.
Oh, you remember that? Yeah, because you celebrated, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about all that.
Yeah.
And people were going, what's he doing celebrating getting Coventry when it was City-Chelsea?
Yeah, I've probably made a bad pick there. So Championship, I might need to readdress that. Well, but, you've got...
Sunderland, who are also 2-2. They beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-0 after Sheffield Wednesday won 4-0 against Plymouth in their first game. Joe Bellingham on fire. Didn't score, but people are really talking about that.
Will, what about that Luton red card?
Oh, did you see it?
No. I just saw Aaron in the chat say, what about that Luton red card?
Thomas Kaminski.
And I knew people said it at the weekend. I only saw the Palace free kick this morning. I definitely haven't seen the Luton red
Thomas
card.
Thomas Kaminski comes out and commits two assaults on play, like two perfect goalkeeper challenges that were absolutely horrendous. Down in League One, you've already mentioned Charlton.
Your team won.
We beat Wycombe Wanderers 3-2. We played some lovely stuff. We looked fantastic. And maybe if you are going to be for turning in League One, Birmingham City are on the rise
again.
I'm not
for turning on League One.
All right, well,
I'm
you
Charlton
said that now.
Until I die.
Yeah, well, you've seen what people think of you wearing that kit. Notts County 2, Fleetwood Town 2. That was my team.
My team. Two draws from two, really, there.
And my beloved Cheltenham Town lost in the 94th minute thanks to a Jordan Davis goal who'd signed from Wrexham against Grimsby Town away. And that was them.
Yeah, in League Two, I feel like I might have a bit of another look in there. Yeah. I don't know. But that's the whole joy of it. We keep focus on it. And
I'm thinking
MK Dons. In
League
Two.
My God. You're doing that for the...
Controversial.
Oh, God, that went right through me. That's like I had a dodgy curry then.
What's wrong with MK
Dons? I nearly shit my kegs.
What's wrong with Milton Keynes?
Oh, I tell you what, you and Milton Keynes would be the perfect match. And let me just say, I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
What have we got coming? You've got
Solly Allmores won.
Solly Allmores won. If you want some free Guinness, let us know. What was I going to say? You live streaming tonight? Leicester City versus Spurs.
It's always difficult, actually. I remember Man United did this last year against Wolves. As a Spurs and a Leicester fan, you watch the whole weekend from Friday night and you almost feel like you're not part of it because everyone will watch it tonight, but the weekend's sort of done, isn't it? So you've not even started yet. So it's a long old wait. But I'm excited to see Spurs. I've got Solanke in my FPL. My FPL was an absolute nightmare. Did brilliant on Super 6, but
how many
FPL...
points you have?
Super 6, you get 5 points.
No, not Super 6.
Oh, FPL, I don't know.
I'm on 56.
I don't think I'm doing well.
I've got Poro to play tonight as well.
I've got Solanke. He needs to score about 10.
Yeah, nice.
And even then, most people have probably got him.
Week ahead. And then we are back on Friday, aren't we?
Back on Friday, live on YouTube as well. Did we not have a quiz?
We got a quiz, but he's not got a microphone, so...
Okay, that's fine. No worries. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Make sure you get your comments in as well. We are, if you want to listen to this on Spotify, hopefully many of you are. And of course, we're live on YouTube if you've got interactive or not. Get your comments in if you like us doing that. I will be on the watch along tonight for Spurs. But we've got Fabrizio Romano on the United Stand at 2 o'clock today. So we will ask him a few questions. I'm thinking transfers.
Well, why aren't you thinking about asking Fabrizio Romano?
One day I might just ask him
what
EFL team do you support? What do you do with your spare time? Do you ever turn your phone off?
Yeah, his watch time's like 16-17 hours.
Film recommendations with Fabrizio Romano.
You watched a good film at the weekend, didn't you?
Okay, it was called A Most Violent Year. It was alright.
I saw the new Twisters.
Yeah,
that was good. And I had
I used to like a good Twister.
Yeah, Twister's good. Yeah. Oh. Do you remember
the most enjoyable thing you can suck on.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Was it Twister?
With Fabrizio Romano.
Exactly. What were the ones, the shots in the... Was that Twister? No, that was Calypso. You remember the little lime balls?
Yeah.
Oh, they were lovely. Yeah. So refreshing as well.
Anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in. Great to be live talking about it. Lots to talk about on a Monday, of course. Make sure you get involved. Make sure you subscribe if you're on YouTube. We will speak to you on the next one.
See you, Mark.
Bye, Will.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. and there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at spinquest.com, SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.